For me, I never truly understood how more blessed to give than to receive until I became a wife and a mother. Giving gifts and hugs and encouragement and time and acts of service fill my heart like nothing I've experienced. And it seems a bit counterintuitive to think the more you give, the emptier you feel. But the opposite has proven true, of course. I've discovered giving is a response to love, because I love my family. I want to give them all I can so they feel loved. And of course, this is true of our Heavenly Father as well. The Bible is full of evidence of God's great generosity towards us. Generosity is an attribute of God and what God is. He is always and completely. God's generosity is enduring. He's not like a human who might be generous one day and another not. We don't often hear about generosity when we study the attributes of God. We do hear about his loving kindness and his goodness, and his generosity is just an overflow of this love and goodness motivating him to give. God's generosity towards us is more than we can comprehend. In fact, because of God's generosity, we are alive today. Everywhere you read in God's word, you'll find time and time again that God just goes the extra mile. And Psalm 145 is full of that. But verse 8 in particular says those familiar words that say, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." And so this morning, as we launch our self-denial missionary appeal, Adrian and I wanted to start with thinking about what we do, what should be our motive to our response to this appeal. For us, the self-denial missionary appeal is a really important spiritual discipline, as is our weekly giving. And it starts by recognizing a deep sense of the one who first gave and just keeps giving. So as we set our minds on this, we're going to start by reminding ourselves of the generosity of God. So let's look first at God being a generous creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but not just for himself. God entrusted his glorious creation to the care of human beings. He has created in his image and for his glory. Wow. We know that the whole of creation declares the glory of God. But it also demonstrates his generosity. Our perfect creator perfectly crafted a world which sustains human lives, lives which themselves came into being by his breath. But God did not stop at life and breath and sustainability. Beyond our survival, the Bible says he considers our delight as well. He made seas and mountains and rivers. He made millions of species of insects, although I don't know why he made wasps and slugs. He made 400,000 species of flowers, 200,000 species of edible plants. I actually looked this up. 10,000 species of bird. Ah, question the point of seagulls, especially when they steal your ice cream. And stars too numerous to count. For every good thing a person, Christian or non-Christian, enjoys in this life is a gift from God. Rosie was lying in bed with me the other night, finding lots of things to say. Why does that always happen? They don't speak to you all night, and then suddenly, at stupid o'clock in the evening, they decide they've got all these things to tell you. And so this was me, and my eyes were drooping, trying to keep them awake. And she said to me, "Have you ever considered that there may just be another planet out there in another solar system that's just like ours and has living beings on it?" This is like 11 o'clock at night. "That's amazing," she says, "that God made that. I really want to go out there and find it," she said. I was like, okay. Not tonight, though. Go and find your bed first. That's hard enough, I tell you. She then proceeded to give me this lesson in astronomy and told me that she'd like to go to space. I think her bedroom's like another galaxy, but never mind. Then the other day, she was telling me that there's some solar storm, apparently, going on around us right now. But God is so amazing, she said, that he created this magnetic field around us to protect us from it. And these solar storms are happening all the time and we don't know anything about it. Who knew? Did you? Some of you did. You can go and have a chat with her about it because I've got no idea what she's talking about. God is amazing, she said, for making all of this. Isn't he just amazing? Welcome to my life, everybody. But these conversations, and because I was preparing as well for this today, I suddenly realized the expanse of the universe that God has created. It just kind of hit me. Me at 48, I don't even care. It just kind of hit me for the first time. How amazing this is. And he created it with perfect elegance and complexity. He designed it with superfluous creativity. Then he gave us senses and sight and sound and touch and taste and smell so we could experience the richness of these gifts. Our Creator God is a never-ending source of pleasure forever. And when he created a perfect human habitat, he called his people to work in, interact with, and enjoy it. Work didn't become labor until after the fall. Then he gave people to each other. The Bible says he saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he made them two. Then God gave them the best gift of creation, his own presence. Wow. The Bible says that Adam and Eve knew him so well, they recognized the sound of his feet as he walked across in the garden. That's amazing. So when you pause long enough to really think about it, the goodness of God's giving in creation alone is just overwhelming, isn't it? How many of you have stood somewhere in this world and found yourself speechless or breathless at the beauty of it? I reckon you all have, haven't you? Psalm 8, beautiful psalm that says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Rowan Williams says, "We exist because of an utterly unconditional generosity. The love God shows in making the world, like the love he shows towards the world once it's created, has no shadow or shred of self-directed purpose in it. It is entirely given for our sake." When we think about the world and our lives in it, are we moved to worship and response to our generous God, maker of heaven and earth? God is a generous God. But as we so often, God is a generous redeemer. But as we so often do with good things over time, Adam and Eve grew a little less grateful. Of all the things God had given them, He had only one rule, and they broke it. They fell for the life that maybe God was withholding. They felt that God was maybe withholding something from them and destroyed the community of their perfect garden. It was like what God has given them wasn't quite enough. So God gave again. He gave them discipline, which is also a gift. And then out of his limitless generosity, he gave them forgiveness and made a sacrifice to cover their shame. This would not be the only time God would sacrifice to cover and heal his people from sin, as we well know. In what is probably the most familiar verse of all time, we hear of the ultimate sacrifice he gave to cover and heal our sins. John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Ever since Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie, we've struggled with this snake-like suspicion that God is stingy. I think we often think, either consciously or subconsciously, that our way is better than his. As sinners, we turn away from our generous God to worship and serve his creation rather than him. But amazingly, when we're at our worst, God in his generosity gave his best. The Father sent his Son to redeem us from the curse of sin by becoming a curse for us on the cross. When we deserve death, Jesus Christ sacrificed everything to give us his life. As Christians, we worship a loving and generous God whose nature is to give freely without measure to the whole world. Jesus is his love gift to the world. And if we measure the value of God's love by the value of the gift, then it could not be greater. He could not have loved more. So the familiar verses from John's Gospel come to us as a reminder that while we might try to reach God through our efforts, it is God who reaches out to us through his Son. He gave Jesus to the world that through him we might have eternal life. And to have eternal life is to know God in a way that without Jesus it would not be possible. For the generous God who sent his Son to stretch out his arms on that bloodied cross is ever waiting to wrap us in those arms. The generous God, like the father of the prodigal son, is already running out to meet us and give us his forgiving kiss. For the paradox is that when we know and acknowledge the depth of our failure and bring them to God, the freedom that his forgiveness gives evokes in us a generosity of spirit which we never dared to dream. Are you overwhelmed by the generous grace of our generous Redeemer? Are you? And finally, God is a generous provider. We live in a materialistic world. At every turn, we are encouraged to buy things that whether or not we need them. Indeed, for many of us, our lives are so cluttered with stuff that we now have to hire storage units, perhaps, to cope with the overflow. We may look around and contemplate all the things that we think we need. We all know that there's a difference between what we want and what we need. And God knows the difference as well. He's very aware of that. So in Matthew 6, we read earlier, we're encouraged to set out our priorities and put God first. Let's remember this Bible verse. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what will you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life, it is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." To make the point that God is our provider, Jesus reminded his hearers of the birds in the fields and how he looked after them. It's easy to say, "Don't worry about food," when we have a full cupboard. But we are encouraged to recognize that it is God who's providing for us. This does require faith on our part, to be able to trust with simple childlike faith that our Heavenly Father really does know what we need. Worrying won't get us anywhere, he says. Rather than be anxious about these things, we could rest in the love and provision of God. This is one of the most challenging things that we as Christians face. We can trust God with the unseen spiritual things. However, to trust God for our daily requirements is much more tangible, isn't it? It really is a test of our faith. Do we share this confidence in God's generous provision? Do we? Does it lead us to a life of joyful gratitude and prayerful dependence? Does God's provision build our confidence in ourselves or in him? God, help us to rest in you and know that you are a generous provider. So God is a generous creator, redeemer, and provider. God is generous beyond our measuring. God has created a generous universe filled with goodness. The creation was fully equipped by God with all the resources, potentialities, and formal capabilities that would be needed for the creaturely systems to accomplish every type of physical structure and every form of living organism that has appeared in the course of time. That is incredible. God has given us everything we need. There's no end to God's gifts. It is this generous God that must shape our economic relationships with each other. It is this generous God that must make us a second mile people, a forgiving 70 times seven people, a looking for the one lost sheep people, a welcoming home the prodigal son with a blowout of the doors party, a feast of feasts. During December, I called a lady who was organizing a toy collection at her work for our appeal, and she answered the phone in a way that I was not expecting. Most people say hello, don't they, when you answer the phone, or words to that effect. And she answered by saying, "Make me a winner." And my response was just to laugh, actually. I laughed and then I said, "I can't make you a winner, but I'm hoping you'll make me a winner by collecting toys for me." And we laughed together. And being a listener of Greatest Hits Radio, I realized that she had obviously entered herself into this competition, which meant that if she answered a phone call saying, "Make me a winner," she would win like £60,000 or £70,000. I mean, it's worth it, isn't it? I might just say that to anyone who calls up. Instead of "Hello, Salvation Army," I say, "Make me a winner," you know? And I guess because she didn't recognize the number, she just took the chance that it could be the station. Well, we had a good laugh about it. But to get the reward, she had to say, "Make me a winner." That was the condition. You know, the crazy thing about God's generosity is there's no condition to it. We are all winners. God disseminates gifts in embarrassing abundance. God is indiscriminate with his generosity. God celebrates waste and extravagant in grace and mercy. And the most wonderful, wasteful act of all is the Son of God dying for every living creature, most of whom will not accept, appreciate, or even know this gift. God is so generous, so giving, that we are overwhelmed by, as Sam Wells put it, God's inexhaustible creation, limitless grace, relentless mercy, enduring purpose, fathomless love. That is just amazing, isn't it? The good news is that God is generous beyond our imagining. God is generous. And the questions for us to reflect during this self-denial mission appeal season are: do you recognize and appreciate God's generosity in your life and around you? And how does that make you want to respond to God's abundant generosity? Graham Kendrick wrote a beautiful song, which I often turn to when I want to express my thanks for God's generosity to me. And as we listen to the song now, I want you just to blot out the distractions, to put aside the thoughts about what you're going to do after the meeting and where you're going to go and what's for lunch or whatever, and whatever might be just taking up your time in your mind just now. Even blot out the time. And just focus for 5 minutes, that's all I'm asking, 5 minutes on God's generosity to you. We've done it at the beginning of the meeting, we do it now, we can't ever stop, we should never overdo it. And I pray that as you listen to this beautiful song, that he'll prompt you in how you need to respond to that. How do you need to respond to God's generosity to you now? "Lord, you've been good to me."
All my life, all my life. never fails. I will remember all you have done. Bring from my heart thanksgiving songs.
Lord, you've been good to me all my life, all my life. Your loving kindness never fails. I will remember all you have done. Bring from my heart thanksgiving songs.
You every morning is your. Compassion from above, grace and forgiveness full and free. Lord, you've been so free. Lord, you've been good, so good to me. New every morning is your from above, grace and forgiveness full and free. Lord, you've been good to
Eternal God, the refuge and help of all your children, we praise you for all that you have given us, for all you have done for us, for all that you are to us. In our weakness, you are strength. In our darkness, you are light. In our sorrow, you are our comfort and peace. We cannot number your blessings. We cannot declare your love enough. For all your blessings, we bless you. May we live as in your presence and love the things that you love and serve you in our daily lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.